So good to see all of your smiling faces, because when we join together in this place of worship, we're coming together as the body of Christ. And so we're seeing Christ in all of those who are gathered here today. And even though sometimes we might not know their names, or we may not be, have not even met them before, we can see a smile on their face, or we can see this glow in people's faces, and we know that this is Christ through them. Sometimes when we look at ourselves in the mirror, or we look at others and we think of them in fleshly terms, we may think some people look odd or strange, but yet when we look at others in Christ and through Christ, they all look so beautiful, and we can see and be encouraged by that. This portion we're going to read today from Romans 8, chapter 8, tells us who we are. And when we think about who are we in Christ, we can stop and sometimes think, well, okay, I'm pretty good. But that's not really accurate. We may think to ourselves, well, I did good a few times. Or maybe we think, no, I'm kind of a winner. I think I got the job done here. So we might call ourselves a winner. Or maybe we go so far as we say, no, I'm a champion because I did win. But still, we're selling it short when we call ourselves those things, or if we are to say that's what we are in Christ. Because when we read through this today, we're going to see that he tells us that we are more than conquerors. So anything that we think we could tell ourselves of what we are in Christ, we are more than that. And this doesn't really even make sense to us here on earth, because if there is a battle or a fight and somebody wins and they're the champion or the conqueror, we don't necessarily understand how can you be more than conquerors. But when we see this earth and you see that these governments and countries and kingdoms in our world history has fought different battles or wars that sometimes last decades, and somebody will be the conqueror then, but sometimes 10 years later, a year later, or 100 years later, now someone else comes along, another country comes along, or somebody from within that country starts another fight, and then they're the conqueror. So never in this earth is a group of people, by earthly standards, more than conquerors. But us, in Christ Jesus, God has made us that we are more than conquerors. So we stand now and understand that we're not just victorious, but we're more than that in Christ Jesus. So we will start reading verse 26 in Romans 8, reading in the name of our Lord. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this truth. Sanctify us in this truth and plant it in our minds and in our hearts and give it increase. Grow our faith by this word. In Jesus' name, amen. So Romans is this great book in the New Testament. Luther referred to it as being the most important part of the New Testament. And as I was reading through this text, I listened to Romans chapter 8 multiple times. I listened to it 3 or 4 times, and I thought, wow, that it was just so powerful to hear this word and to hear it repeated. And every time it seems like you hear more and more truth from it, and we gain more confidence from it, this confidence that's not from within us, but that is from God within Christ Jesus. And then when we go and if we listen to the whole book of Romans from beginning to end, it is just striking, because it seems that then we are just in awe at this great, at the great power of God, but at his great love that he had for us. This great love that he saw us and loved us so much that he sent his son. So now that we are all made worthy in him, so that we are made more than conquerors. And we understand as we read this, that this is a thing that we would want to experience in its fullness today or tomorrow, or we want it to happen quickly. But God, he understands. He's not a God of confusion. He's a God of reality. And this first, in verse 26, he says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And maybe many of us have had a time in our life, or maybe even recently, where somebody is confused, or maybe we're confused, and someone wants us to explain ourselves, and all we can do is groan inside because we don't even know how to explain the situation or explain how bad we feel, or maybe something is upsetting to us. But so it's just this groaning, and we can't even sometimes put it into words. We know that we want God's help, but we don't even know how to ask for this help, because we are either afraid of sounding selfish, or we are afraid that maybe I'm going to say things incorrectly and this isn't going to offer the proper respect to our Father. But God tells us here in his word that his Spirit understands that. His Spirit can make what seems like confusion to us, but to him, it is not confusion. He understands what's causing this great pain or distress we may be going through. And he's able to interpret these feelings we have, that we may feel confused or broken, but yet he's able to interpret this, and he knows what causes this. And he has the answer for this. And it says, "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." And here when it says the saints, that is you. That is you and I. We are the saints. And we are not saints because we have made ourselves saints, but we are saints because Christ Jesus has made us saints. We have become that in him. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And now it doesn't say in here, this is often something people like to say when we experience hardship maybe, but if you've experienced loss of a loved one, loss of a child or a mother or a father or a sibling, this hardly can make sense to us when somebody comes to us and tries to say this, because we live in this real world. We live in this reality where we experience pain, we experience death, and we are going to experience these things that we sometimes can't even explain how we feel. All we can do is groan about it. But yet, in the big picture of things, Paul is giving this encouragement that in the end, this is all working together for good. But it doesn't mean that God wants or intends for us to experience evil. That was never his intent. But because man follows their own desires, this is something that we deal with in this world. We deal with this sin in this world. And one day we will not experience it anymore. But we do have pain and suffering. And God understands this pain and suffering and how it feels for us and how traumatic some of these experiences we go through are. And it is not saying here that all things are good. We have bad things that will happen to us, but the pain that we experience from it is this temporary pain in that we'll experience in this life, but one day it will be no more when we are in Christ Jesus. He says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." And so God is telling us here that he foreknew you. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, he already knew us. His word tells us he knows the very count of the hairs on our head. And when we start thinking back to that, is he loved us so much that when he sent his Son to be sacrificed for us, he was thinking of each and every one of you. And I wasn't there. None of us were there when that happened. And when we start going back in our family history, we go, were our grandparents there? Or was it our great-grandparents? Even our great-greats? No, it was 2,000 years ago. And at that the day that he went there, even his disciples had scattered. They did not want to be around there because they were confused and they didn't know what was to happen. The very men that God was going to use to do his work, they were not all there to witness the sacrifice on that cross because they were hiding, because they were fearful for themselves, or they were ashamed, or they were uncertain about their future. And so right there we can see they were experiencing this fear. It wasn't a good fear they were experiencing. They were understanding that they could all die, and they were scared of that. But God knew us when he was sending Christ to that cross. And when Christ was on that cross, he knew us. Even though we didn't know him yet, he was doing this work because he foreknew us and he predestined us for this salvation. And he says that we were conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And when we read through this whole of Scripture and even world history, we understand that the firstborn is the one who receives the inheritance. But now we are all the firstborn in Christ. So we receive this inheritance that is stored in heaven for us, that God is keeping for us. It's not a temporary inheritance. I had a professor in college who grew up in a house in Boston that had been his mother's and grandmother's and great-grandmother's. It was four generations in his family. And his sisters, when his mom died, began to fight over the antiques in the house. It was filled, three-story house. So one day when they weren't there, he called Goodwill and told them to bring two semi-trucks and fill it up. It's got to be all gone today. And it was. They cleaned it out. And he said, today, 20 years later, one of my sisters still won't speak to me. And I don't know why. But this is an example of this earthly inheritance that people will fight over. It's corruptible. He just made a simple phone call, but yet now for life, his sisters are not happy with the choice he made, but he couldn't stand to see them fighting over these things. So this earthly inheritance is not the inheritance that is secure for us. This earthly inheritance, it fades away. It burns up, it gets spent, or people decide to fight over it. And sometimes even close friends and family can end up being set apart from it. But this inheritance in heaven that we take part of now that we are in Christ is this incorruptible inheritance that is safe and secure for us. Nobody can come and take it. Nobody can back up a truck and take it away. It is safe and secure. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So this is the word speaking to us. It's not just somebody else over there. This is to us that we were predestined. We were called. And not only are we called, but then we are justified. And not only are we justified, we are glorified. And so one easy way to understand this word justified is we were made right. Anywhere we were wrong, we were made right. God made us right. And then not only did he make us right as he justified us, but now when we are in Christ, we are also glorified. So we are glorified, and it kind of starts to make sense when you say, well, how is that possible? But yet, if God is viewing us and telling us that we are more than conquerors, then yes, we can see that this is, that we also are glorified when we are in Christ Jesus. It's not for our actions that we did on our own here on earth, or some ideas that we come up with on our own, but it is the work of Christ. And because of that, we are glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And reading this verse, it's like there isn't even a fight here because no one can actually even be against us. When we view the world as being something we need to fight against, that's what we're lowering ourselves to that. But we don't need to. We can view the world as the lost and the hurting and the broken. Even those who may seem they can hurt us in this world, there are those who they do not know this truth yet. They do not know this love. They do not understand what they are doing. So they may be using their earthly power and abusing it. But his word tells us that they can hurt our flesh, but they cannot hurt our souls because our souls are secure. They're made secure in Christ Jesus. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And so this is where Paul is explaining this now to us, saying that he freely gave up his son and delivered him for all of us. So how will he not also freely give us all things? And so he's trying to get us to understand this, that God is freely going to give this to us, this salvation, this free gift. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. And so here again, he says, who can lay anything to our charge? Who can even say anything against us? There is nothing that is actually put against us. If something is put against us in this earth, this is not going to be held. We are not going to be accountable for this in the end when we are in Christ Jesus, when we have been washed white as snow at the cross, when the blood of the Lamb is shed and cleansed us. There is nothing in this earth that can now be held to our account. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So now Jesus Christ is making intercession for us. Not only did he die once and for all on that cross and rise from the dead and conquer death, but now he is constantly, he's persistently making intercession for us, to cleanse us, to bring us home to him. It isn't just that he says, no, don't worry about it, I paid for it. Yes, he did pay for it, but he also continues to make intercession for us. And this should be so comforting for us to be able to understand this, that Christ didn't stop. He didn't just die on that cross and then go on vacation, but he's continued. He's continued to work, to be an intercessor for us, so that now he continues to cleanse us. So we are continually washed by the blood that was shed on the cross. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. So he continues here with these very strong things, saying, how can any of this separate us from the love of Christ? And we go through there and we hear these things. And most of them are things today in America we haven't truly had to experience. Sometimes we think we've felt a sample of it, but in some instances it is more just like we've stubbed our toe, or somebody's frustrated us because they cut us off, or maybe they tell us the store's closing and we're going to have to leave soon. But we've been blessed to live in this free nation where we can freely worship our God, where most of us haven't really experienced this persecution or famine or peril or sword. But yet those strong things, these things for some of us that aren't even imaginable in our society, he's saying that this cannot separate us from the love of Christ. As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And so this is where we now understand. It's nice sometimes when we think that Jesus is the shepherd and he is guiding us and watching over us. But we are also now, our earthly lives is something that we give up. Our earthly lives is, this is how we are. We are just as innocent sheep that are counted for the slaughter. But he says, nay. Then he says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So we are more than conquerors, even though we may face these trials and tribulations. And you see here where in the beginning he talked about that all things work together for good, but yet it doesn't say that we're just going to experience good in this life. He lists all these horrific things we can experience, and he says it's as if we're sheep that are going for the slaughter all the day long, where we don't even always understand this is what we're being pushed towards in the flesh. But yet he says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Through him that loved us. It doesn't say through him that verified if we were qualified. It doesn't say through him that made sure we could pass a background check. It doesn't say through him that did our DNA test and then said. No, it just says we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He doesn't add any buts to it for only certain people. It's for all mankind, for all men, women, and children. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. And so now he goes out of what we see in this physical world, but he says, nor death, nor life, nor angels. And he starts talking about the reality that is outside of this earth, of what we see, of this, some people call it the spiritual realm, or the evil spirits that may be trying to work against us beyond just this physical life. And he goes to that level and says, for I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So we can take great courage and confidence in this, and we can understand that, yes, we truly are more than conquerors, because none of these things can separate us from that love. Our strength, we may sometimes think that we're going to hold on to this love, but we cannot, by our own physical abilities, hold on to this love. Or maybe we think, I'm going to keep my feelings in check today or this week so I feel really good about all this. But no, the love of Christ is something that's coming to us, and God is holding us in his hands, keeping us safe and secure. So now nothing is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So now we are co-heirs with Christ. We are co-heirs for this inheritance that is safe and secure for us, for all of eternity. So it isn't just for today that nothing can separate us from this love of Christ. It's not just when we sit in this church building, but when we go out and we go to work and we go out with our friends and families and our neighbors, there is still nothing that can separate us from this love of Christ. And it isn't here because I'm telling you this, but it's here because this is what his word says. And when we hear this word, this should increase our faith. It will increase our faith, so we can understand this and we can believe this, that nothing is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this great inheritance that you have given us in Jesus Christ. And we pray that you would continue to remind us daily that we truly are more than conquerors. And when we are more than conquerors, we can share this great love with our friends, our family, our neighbors, and even our enemies. Amen.